Hello, everyone. Sorry, it took me a minute to click all of my very buttons. How are y'all doing today? This is Urges and Drinking with MJ. I just had to say it that way because, you know. So first of all, I would like to say thank you to everyone who was so sweet and patient yesterday as we had all the live issues, but they have all been resolved. So I have been doing the research today to figure out why I was being a jackass yesterday. I got it all figured out. And so, but if you missed it, if you saw the live and you want a little bit more clear and concise, I know that the audio was like not the greatest. So on your training page on the website under bonus courses is a video that I did after that live. And it has everything that we talked about, but it's more clear, more concise. The audio is actually good. So if you missed anything, make sure you check it out. It's also on the Private Member Podcast. So, but thank y'all again. I was a very proud No BS woman yesterday because y'all were so kind and gracious and understanding and all of that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're all human, right? Things happen. You should have heard me though. I was dealing, I had some thoughts that that caused frustration. There was cussing in the do line, ladies. There was cussing in the do line. So we are here. We've kind of changed this call a little bit to include urges and drinking. So we found out through these past several months of doing these calls that so many people were coming on to the calls that were just having urges, and they were finding it super helpful because that's really what we're talking about, like an urge to overdrink or an urge to drink when you're with your friends and all that kind of stuff. And so urges a feeling, right? And so it's caused by thought. And so that is why we made it urges and drinking, just because they're very intertwined and very similar in nature. So, yes, Becky has a question. My question has to do with marijuana eating urges. I live in a state with legal medical. Yeah, yeah, we can catch on that. It's the same. It's an urge, right? It's an urge. And, yeah, I think that that, yeah, I think that that's absolutely, it's about the same thing. So I will call on you. Yeah, and Jill said she's glad because, you know, she'd rather hear about urges for food. Yeah, and so it really all is the same. And I will tell you, I will link it, the Q&A that Corinne did on Sunday, which I have listened to and taken all the notes. She talked about that. It was so good the other day. So good the other day. On Sunday, her Q&A, about 40 minutes in, Saturday, her Q&A about 40 minutes in was about urges, and it was amazing, amazing. I've listened to it today. Took some notes. All right. So raise your hand. Yes. Judith's 21-day challenge today was awesome too, dealing with urges. So go check that out as well. She talked about closing the kitchen, which was really good. So I'm going to call Becky up. I only have one hand raised. So if anyone wants to talk about urges or drinking, just raise your hand and, you know, we'll coach. Ugh, this now it's acting a fool down here. Sorry, Bridget. I'm going to change your role. I clicked on Becky. And then it popped up someone else. Here we go. Let's try this again. Oh, it says Becky's coming now. That's going to be awesome. Hey, Becky.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Let me answer this one question right quick, and sure. I will get to it because I just saw it come up. Jill, if you go on the website, she wants a little blurb about what the challenge is going to be every day. If you go on the website, there is a calendar, at the bottom with every single date listed for the 21-day challenge. So you know exactly what is coming up. So Yeah, the challenge for yesterday was to print out the worksheets and listen to the video. And okay, yeah, we're gonna get better with that, Jill. We're gonna start posting about what the homework is. But yesterday was to get yourself started. Today is close the kitchen, and tomorrow I don't remember, but you'll find out tomorrow. All right, go ahead, Becky. You're muted now. We need to unmute you.
No, I'm not. There I am. Hello.
Hello. All right. Smoking pot. Go ahead. Tell me about it. Oh, you're frozen, Becky.
Smoking pot.
Your connection is not all that great.
Oh, hold on a minute. Let me just check mine quick. Okay. Just give me a sec. Hang on. I'm checking it real quick.
Okay. While you're checking, Deborah says to pin it at the top of the Facebook page. If you just go to the No BS Facebook page and click videos, it's the last thing that's up there. So every day, just look for that. Yeah, we're not doing any other things with it just because it's going to get posted on the Private Member Podcast video replays and on the challenge website. So on the website under the challenge. So that's what it's going to be. But yeah, we're going to start putting like what the homework actually is. So yeah, we figured out today that was kind of an issue. So oops. And she's gone. Becky, if you come back, please let me know. Oh, wait, maybe she's coming back. Here she is. She showed up again.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I do, yes. Go ahead. Tell me what you want coaching on. It's still not
good. I discovered that if I smoke just a little bit,
Becky, it's still not good. So if you get to a better spot, raise your hand and I will call you back up, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well.
All right. We have Kathleen and then Shelley. My internet is slow today, apparently. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, MJ. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so excited.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I think with urges, my question is about, I guess, some of the self-talk I have with myself during it. And I heard about Corinne changing like the -2 to +2 and the +2 to being just like, have I had enough? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times I have some self-talk with, well, if I have 3 more bites, it won't push me over my +2. Well, you know, where am I at? And so, and the powerful thing though, sometimes that has been working lately for me is like, I'm a no BS woman. I'm not a unicorn. There are millions, thousands of women that do this. And like, I just do it, Kathleen. Like why? But I guess like the question I have is about like, you know, when do I know when enough is enough, or just say enough's enough and come back 10 minutes later, or.
This is how I've been describing it to my clients, and it seems to be very helpful. So I'll explain it to you the same way. You're either, and I think Corinne even mentioned it, but like in a different way on her live that I was talking about from Saturday, the Q&A.
Oh, I didn't listen to that.
It's so good. It's about 40 minutes. Well, there's a couple of different moments in there that were really, really good. Mm-hmm. You are either feeding your stomach, feeding your body, or you're feeding your thoughts.
Okay.
So if you start to say like, maybe I could have 3 more bites, or, you know, there's only a couple more bites on the plate, it shouldn't be like, it really won't matter that much. At that point, you're feeding your thoughts.
Okay. Got it.
And so, yeah, you don't need your thoughts to run your body, right? Like you don't need it to like, work your daily life. You need fuel for your body.
Sure. Sure.
But your thoughts don't necessarily need the fuel. And so, yeah, it's, yeah. So that's how I've kind of been explaining it. So when you start to have those conversations, like my, always my biggest thing was, if I ever hear like, you know, I wonder if I'm at my plus two, the answer is always yes.
Okay. If you're wondering, you're there.
Yeah, well, there it is.
The flip is, do you wonder if you're hungry enough? You know, then if you're wondering, no, you're not really hungry enough. So it's like the opposite paradigm.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, the truth is, if you're hungry, eat. Like, what is hungry enough? You know what I mean? Like, do you like have to have the stomach growl, or do you like what? It's whatever comfortably hungry is for you.
Sure.
Like, you could wait a little bit longer, but you're like there, you know, whatever it is. Like, make sure that you're not like waiting until you are like famished to eat.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be starving to eat, because am I hungry or a negative two is really when you're hungry, not when you're starving, not when you're like about to gnaw your arm off, like just when you're hungry.
Well, you know, I'm flipping because I remember I did do a discovery worksheet yesterday, and it was kind of about an urge. I was making lasagna for dinner, and I was hungry, but like my whole thing, my biggest thing where I have my overeat is prepping meals, prepping lunches, prepping dinner. And I knew we were going to sit down and eat lasagna, but the kids were a little late. So I took it out, put it back in. And then I wanted to check if it was hot enough, you know? And so then I cut out a square of the lasagna and I just stood there and ate it. And I was like, no, I shouldn't be doing this. I only want to smell, but I just did it. And then I'm like, oh, I'll eat less at the table. Well, at the table, I ate a regular serving. And then I went to my daughter's plate. So what was I saying to myself? I told myself it would make me feel better because I was anxious about my daughter. Wanted to make sure the lasagna was warm enough. That was in the kitchen. I was frustrated about my daughter and her friends, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's like I had some of the best intentions. Like, I had a win when I was making lasagna. I grated a whole pound of cheese with the hand grater. Did not have one piece of cheese. You know how often when I bake or like the nibbling like that, I often do? Because I tell myself, oh, I shouldn't have this. So then I want it, you know, and then I do it. So I had some win, but then I just totally self-sabotaged with this urge of eating early. And then I ate even more when I sat down.
Yeah. And so when you thought, you know, it will make me feel better, we can do this with wine or whatever else, right? Yeah. Alcohol too. It'll make me feel better. How does that feel?
A little anxious, like I should just have it right now to make me feel better.
Yeah, it's almost like justified. Like, the food is going to make me feel better, right?
Yeah, which I put down, like, what else think feel do on my discovery worksheet. In the future, I can say the only thing this will do if I eat this right now is add to my ass, and I'm still going to have this, you know, this. I'm not going to feel better in the end, but it's that pause that it gives you, or that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and what, tell me what you said again to yourself.
Oh, to make myself eat, or was it on the discovery worksheet?
On the discovery worksheet.
This is not a solution. The only thing this will do is like make my ass bigger.
How does that feel?
That feels horrible. Like, I don't want to eat food.
Yeah. Bigger. But that's the whole thing. It's not only what you tell yourself at the beginning of the urge, it's what you tell yourself at the end of the urge. Even if you overeat.
Okay, so I overeat and I'm trying to kind of punitively make myself behave in the future is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know it's just going to make your ass bigger.
Yeah.
Like, if that doesn't feel good,
yeah, it doesn't.
It's not good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit about me. I've been in the tribe for over a year, and I was with Corinne like years ago and came back, like when she was giving recipes out, I was saying, like years ago. But I get frustrated because I had lost 10 pounds, gained 9 pounds, lost, you know, and I thought last March, a year ago, not this past March, the March before, I'd be at my goal, and I'm still like 10, 12 pounds away from my goal. I've learned a lot, but then I think I get frustrated and then blow it and eat.
Why are you frustrated?
I'm not where I think I should be.
I'm not where I think I should be. Why aren't you where you think you should be? Why aren't you there? Why aren't you at your goal weight?
Because, well, I was my lowest in March, and then during COVID, we started baking a lot, and I would just eat every day and just eat too much, but like things that my body didn't need. So that's why I'm not at my goal weight. Yeah. I just overeat. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course I'm not at my goal weight. I overeat, and that's what I'm working on, right?
Okay. I'm gonna write that down.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like I overeat, but then I should be at my goal weight, and then you feel frustrated. But if you just say, of course I'm not there yet. I'm overeating, and that's the piece that I'm working on. I'm doing discovery worksheets. I'm learning how to speak better to myself.
Someone posted on the Facebook, I forget, she showed her months of like June, July, August, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
And then the month of August, it was like 1.1, like she lost a few pounds, you know, but this last month, she wrote a positive loving statement every day to herself. And then she lost 8 pounds this week. So, I mean, I think, I think I have I done the self-love. I'm like, maybe I should go back to the self-love a little bit too. I'm having a hard time of like focusing on just like doing one or two things. I think there's so much content and I get so excited and I want to do it all. And that's my personality. In work, I had review and I got pissed off yesterday or Friday because I couldn't do the kind of work I wanted to end COVID, you know, and do it all and get a good review. You know, like I want to do it all and you can't do it all. Yeah. Nothing in work or weight loss or parenting or homeschooling that I'm going to do on Tuesday, you know, and it's just, that's just trying to do enough, good enough. But then I still want to lose weight because I don't want this to be an excuse.
You know? Yeah. And the other thing I want to offer, like you had the thought, it'll make me feel better and you felt justified and then you ate and we know the result because you already did the model that you didn't feel better. But when you hear those thoughts, you can ask yourself, is that true?
Okay.
Is that really true? Is it going to make me feel like let yourself go down the road?
Yeah. It'll make me feel better. Not, it doesn't. So that's the thing. That's the nuance of the words. Like you feel better when you're eating it for that minute, but it's fleeting. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, like Corinne talks about this in that live. I'm going to link the live in here for y'all so that you can get to it really simply. Mm-hmm. But your urge is going to end.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to end. Either because you feed it or because you wait it out.
Yeah.
Right? And she said in that live the other day, because, you know, I got 3 pages of notes because I told y'all this on it. You can end the urge with food or patience. She said that out of her own face because, you know, she's awesome like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, because it's going to end.
Yeah.
You either feed it and give it a reward for being there so that the next time it's like, oh, I know it works. It's going to make you feel better. Here you go. Oh, you didn't hear me in the back? It's going to make you feel better until you feed it like you feed it.
Yeah. And I just have to, my shorts are feeling a little better, but I just have to be like, I am working on this stuff. Like, don't think a year and a half in the tribe, I haven't lost 15, 20 pounds. Like, it's okay. I'm where I'm supposed to be, I guess, you know. That's what I was trying to say. Maybe gaining 10 pounds and losing the 9 and gaining 10 again. That's all part of my journey. But I got to say, I don't believe that.
I'm up 10. I'm doing the losing 10 pounds with MJ. Well, I'm not up 10, y'all. I got like 7-ish to go. But that's what I've been telling myself. Like, that's the thought I've been practicing. Like, what can I learn from this 10 pounds? What did I miss on the way that I need to learn now? And how can I make this the best thing that's ever happened in my weight loss journey?
Do you believe that though? Like,
When you ask, your brain wants to give you an answer always. Like it loves to answer a question. If you say, why am I a failure? It'll give you let me show you.
Yeah.
Here's why. If you say, how could this 10 pounds, what can I learn from this 10 pounds? And how can this 10 pounds be the best thing that's happened in my weight loss journey? You get a good answer. Every time you learn something new, you're like, oh my gosh, if I hadn't gained that 10 pounds, I would have missed it. You just have to ask the right question. Your brain hates to not give you an answer. It will fight tooth and nail to answer your question.
So I have to write this. So how do you, I know the goal, I believe that it's not losing the 20 pounds. It's the process and the habits that you have gotten some pretty good process and habits. There's still areas to grow. Just like my review, I did really well this year, but my boss says there's still more things, right? But like, so I had the goal of this dress fitting by March, and it kind of fits, but I still wouldn't wear it outside. Or if I always think every summer, someday I'd like to go to the beach and not have to wear a skirt because my legs are so big. And I know it's my thought that my legs are too big, but it's like, I want to be at the goal and have us to meet it. And I haven't, I continually not meet those goals.
Yeah.
How do you work around that then? I mean, I know I'm overeating, so I guess I stopped overeating.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, again, of course I'm not at my goal. I keep giving in to urges. That's what I'm working on. It's my urges.
Okay.
I know somebody, I wrote that too, Lynn. Somebody posted in the chat. Urges have no power until consent is given.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Oh, so good. So good. Okay. It's true.
I got to work on these urges. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to ask myself better questions and look at that Saturday live.
Yes, and I'll link it in this call as well, but you'll see it on the website. It's her Saturday Q&A.
Thank you for all your, like you said, your honesty, like that you've been up, or like just, I really admire like your transparency with us all. And
well, thank you. Yeah. I don't know any other way to be. I'm an open book. I've always been that way though.
So am I as well.
Say it. If I think it, I say it.
One last thing, I really want to get, this is again the date, which I think I'm maybe posing myself with this thought, but like 5 years, January 29th will be 5 years of breast cancer, like surviving it. I'm like, I want my body to be at my goal by then. So like, I'm like, it's gotta be in January. Like, there's no reason why I can't get there, but I don't want that to be this artificial date that when I don't get there, like lose 12 pounds.
But I want you to ask yourself, why does it have to be that date? Why is that date so important to you? What does it mean if you're not there?
Then I've been overeating from August to
September. Yeah, but what does it mean about you? What are you going to make it mean about you if you are not there by that date? That's a good question. I want you to journal on that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was nice to meet you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. I know I hope I didn't go too far off of your topic.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Thank you. Right. Thank you for everything. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Shelly, and then I'm going to try Becky again. All right. Let's unmute Shelly. Shelly? I wonder if
hello.
Oh,
hello.
Hi. I was.
I don't know
quit.
Why my Oh wait, start my video. Hang on. Oh, here we are.
I asked you. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. I am so thrilled to be on. I love that your lipstick matches your shirt. By the way, I just have to get that out of the way.
Hey, I did not mean to do that, but and I didn't even notice it till you said. But thank you very much. This is my new. I had a makeover this weekend. And so she gave me this color of lipstick.
Well, she did good.
It's a little darker than I would normally wear, but I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to embrace it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So my urges are at night. And the story I tell myself is that I can't get to sleep if I don't eat. I have a really hard time. And I've listened to some of the self-love stuff and really kind of put together that I think what happens is I don't sit with my thoughts all day, so then I get to 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. and I'm so wound up that I literally can't relax to get to sleep. And so the habit that I have created is then to eat, and it's not healthy. And, you know, really it doesn't serve my goals, but I don't know, like literally I'm like midnight, 1 o'clock, and then it's like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm face down in the pantry, like hands in the chocolate chips. Like it's pitiful.
So but, what are your thoughts? Like you're laying in the bed and you're tossing and turning and flipping and flopping. And then you think what?
I must be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And if I eat, then I can sleep. I just need some food to relax. I don't even know that I think that, but that's where it's like, okay, it worked for me in the past. So if I just go have sandwich or, you know, and then I try different foods, like I'll try, you know, to have like less sugary foods, but it's, yeah, I don't know if I answered your question, but It worked for me in the past.
Yeah. And so I'm going to tell you, this is such a good call because it happens to so many people. Like, it happens to so many people. So one night you woke up and maybe you were really hungry. Like, you could have legit been hungry when you woke up in the middle of the night. And you're like, God, I'm hungry. I should go get something to eat. And you got out of bed and you went to the kitchen and you got something to eat and you went back to sleep. Mm-hmm. And the next time you woke up, you were like, I must be hungry again. Even if you weren't. I know what worked last time. Food. I'm going to go do that. Mm. So you have a thought that food is going to solve this. Okay. Or help me sleep or whatever it is. And then you have an urge. And Judith was talking about this in her call today. That's when you have to pause the model. Because for so long, you've been letting it run. Mm-hmm. And then in the do line is go eat and answer that urge. Right? Yeah. It gets a reward. That thought is rewarded by food, by the dopamine hit that you get. Mm. Your that thought, you just keep rewarding that urge every time.
Yep.
And it gets stronger. And that's kind of what I was talking about with the last caller. And that's kind of what Corinne was talking about on her call the other day. It's like you wake up and then you have the thought, food will help me go back to sleep. You have the urge. And you've always fed the urge.
Yeah, because I'm scared. Well,
yeah. Well, you fed the urge. And so now, right. And so now you lay there for a minute because mm-hmm. you don't want to go eat. And then it's like, hello. Maybe you didn't hear me. Let me say it louder.
I go have a hot bath, and then it's like, okay, that didn't do it. And
it didn't do it because it didn't get the dopamine hit that it's so used to. So it gets louder and louder and louder.
Yep.
And so the point, this is the same. But this is the same thing with drinking. It's an urge. It's an urge habit. It is a habit that you have developed. You're rewarding the urge every time. You're giving it that hit of dopamine every single time. And I remember whenever I first joined the membership, I even was listening on live. I don't even know, but like, I remember Corinne said, you know what you do? You lay there and you feel like ass.
Yeah.
And you let it pitch its baby, titty baby, as Corinne would say, tantrum.
Yep.
Right? It's the same thing with drinking. Like you have an urge to drink and then you keep feeding it. You're drinking for it. It's the same thing. And so that's exactly how it happens. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to feel great. You may not sleep well for a few nights.
Yeah, I guess that's where you have to go. You have to go, okay.
You have to go. And you have to have the conversation. Like the other thing Corinne said the other day, can you tell that I've listened to it about 12 times a day? So I was like, I'm doing an urge call. And she talked about urges. So it's perfect. But if you talk to yourself like a domineering mother, do not be surprised when you act like a rebellious teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that call and I went, oh. That's exactly what's happening at night. Cause I'm just like,
yeah.
Okay, well, he said I couldn't have it, but
yeah,
screw you. Like,
and it's also like, you better not get up.
Mm-hmm.
You better lay here. If you get, you know, you're not hungry. You better not get up right now. And then you're like, I'll show you. I ain't gonna stay in this bed. Damn it. I can go to the kitchen. I'm a grown ass woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then you
I deserve it. I've worked hard all day. I went for a walk this morning.
Amen.
I deserve it. Yeah. Yeah. It's preaching in my head for sure.
But the whole thing is, that's when you have to watch this conversation that you have. Your first inclination is to be like, Corinne explained it a little bit differently, but like the way I explain it to my private clients is, you have a feeling, which is an urge. Mm-hmm. And you pile on top of it suffering. How long am I going to have to lay here? Oh my God, this is going to take forever. this is so unfair. You know what? There are probably other people sleeping like a baby. And here I am. I'm having to lay here and unlearn this habit. Oh my gosh.
Listen this is to my so husband
terrible.
Snore.
How long? And it adds suffering on top of, now you got an urge and some suffering. Like an urge was not enough. Yeah. Let's add some shitty thoughts to it.
Yeah. So just ride it out.
Ride it out and let it feel like ass. But it's about that conversation. Of course, I'm having an urge right now. I have gotten up and eaten forever. I have always told myself that food and sleep go together. But I know that's not true because there's so many people that get through the night without food and they sleep through the night. And I know I can do the same thing. I know that food helps me sleep is just a thought that I have. It's not a fact in this world. If it were a fact, everybody would have to get up in the middle of the night and go eat. That's how I know it's just a thought.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I know. Don't you love it when you get on a coaching call? They're like, and it's going to feel like ass. You're welcome.
Thank you. We have to hear it, the truth.
I know. But you know what? It does get easier. Yeah. It does get easier. Whenever I was quitting drinking, I was going from 6 glasses a day to 4 glasses a day. It was hard. And I've told the story so many times. I went to like, I can only open 1 bottle of wine every 2 days. That was what I was going to do. And day one, guess what happened? I drank the whole bottle. And then day two, it felt like ass. Mm. It was awful. I had none left. And so I was like, sorry. But that was before I joined the membership. So it was a bunch of negative self-talk. It was a beat down. I added suffering to it. I made it through, but it was not fun. Mm. And it was not loving. And it was not kind or compassionate or caring. It was none of that.
So think of all the people that are listening and that you can tell them that. And what a great testimony example you have, of that. Like what a great, like you can inspire people with that and are inspiring people. So
and imagine 6 months from now when you're talking to your accountability group or you're talking to the new people that join the membership and you are no longer a woman who gets up at middle of the night and eats, what an inspiration you're going to be to other people. That's how it works. You do the work and then you pay it forward.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
All right. We'll see ya.
Good night.
That was a good call. Thank you. I don't know why I'm coughing, y'all. I don't have the sickness. I'm going to call Becky up and then Leslie. Let's see if Becky's internet's is good. You're muted. Let's unmute you. I do not have the Rona. There you go.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm done moving around too.
Okay, good.
Okay. So about 3 years ago, I discovered that if I smoke just a little bit right before I go to bed, I sleep so much better. So it has become my nightly ritual that I smoke just a little, just enough to put me to sleep.
Okay.
And then I would have also one small piece of Dove dark chocolate. And then I was asleep and that was it. That was my night. Well, lately I've been, like maybe it's Corona, I don't know, but I'm home and I might smoke a little bit earlier before bed and then I get hungry.
Okay.
So my question, what I've been doing is I have been working hard on the urge to smoke earlier. So I'm trying to only smoke right before I go to sleep, but I'm not always great at that. But I'm really having a hard time sitting through my eating urges, like you were just discussing in the last coaching call. I don't know how to do that 90 seconds. I don't know how to do that. Because it's like, hello, did you hear me? Like you said.
Yeah.
Hey. Now, I have been eating healthy. I've been making like one bag. I've been grabbing just one bag of like Smart Pop popcorn, and that's fine. That's enough, and I'm good.
Are you hungry when you do it?
Yes, I'm. Well, I think I'm hungry. It feels like I'm hungry.
When is the last? This is so good for drinking and for our.
Yeah, I have the same thing when I drink too. I do the same thing when I drink.
Such a great call for our marijuana friends and the drinking friends. And so, when you, when you smoke or you drink, it lowers your like inhibition of like your kind of your thought process. Like it's a little bit, it's a little bit loosey goosey. You can't make the best decision like from a place of like complete presence. Okay.
Right. I agree. Totally agree.
Like it's so much more difficult. So a lot of times it's a little bit different too than like just regular food urges. And I've talked about that on calls before. If you're going to choose a drink or smoke pot, you have got to set up your environment for success so that it can trigger you because you may not be thinking rationally. So like, let's say that you always go get Smart Pop popcorn when you smoke pot.
Right.
Okay. You might want to put a discovery worksheet on it.
Okay.
And really ask yourself, make the decision ahead of time. Maybe leave yourself a little note. I only ate dinner an hour ago. I am feeding my munchies. Feeding my munchies.
They're still called munchies.
Okay, I didn't know. I'm in South Carolina. I'm just waiting on them to open it up over here. So, yeah. Yeah, my daughter moved to California. Guess where she,
lucky
first
girl.
Place she went?
The dispensary.
Like, what the hell? So, and she waited till I left, though, which was, this, I was like, whatever. But that's another story for another day. I was aggravated with her. But
that's funny.
So if you have to set yourself up for success, just like if you are a person who is determined to eat your food in front of the television. So you're going to eat distracted. Yeah. You need to put in like a natural stopgap so that you can reassess your hunger, like serve yourself half so that you have to take a break. Right. And examine what you're thinking and what you're doing and how you're really feeling. And that's so important when you're going to smoke or you're going to drink, because you need those triggers, because you're not going to be able to make a great decision for yourself.
Well, I did create my own protocol. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, if you're going to do this,
okay,
then these are the only things that you can do. You can have a bag of Smart Pop. You can have a cheese stick. You can have an applesauce or a piece of fruit, but only things that would normally be on my plan.
Okay.
You know, like I'm not going into the kitchen and getting in. Well, that's not really true. I actually have done that, but I try not to get into the, you know, I don't grab more than one piece of chocolate, or I don't eat three bags of popcorn, although on occasion that has happened. So, yeah.
And then, so how do you set yourself up in that instance? I'm going to tell you one good suggestion. If you have a list of things you can have, leave them on the counter. You won't have
and
to
do what?
Leave them on the counter.
And then eat them or not eat them?
If you choose to eat them, at least you have, like, these are the snacks I'm going to have. So you don't have to go rifling through your pantry.
Oh, right. So what I'm hearing you say is you're going to have those, and trying to fight them is pointless because you're not in your best mind. So at least just stick to what you said you were going to do.
I said, if you know you're not hungry, don't eat them.
Right.
Yeah.
I think what I find is as I try and sit with it, and I'm like, okay, really, are you hungry or is this just the munchies? I can't tell the difference in that moment. I'm hungry.
Right. And so that's what I was saying. Like, that's when you have to decide. Like, for instance, let's say you eat dinner at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And your dinner typically holds you 3 to 4 hours. Your meals typically hold you 3 to 4 hours. Okay.
True.
And then you decide to smoke at 7. At 7:30, you start to have the munchies. Then you're not hungry.
Right.
You're not really hungry.
Right.
And so that is when you need to make the decision ahead of time.
Gotcha.
Before you smoke, I know I only ate an hour ago.
Right.
I'm probably going to tell myself that I am hungry. I know that is not true today. I have just eaten. And if I get the munchies, it's not true hunger.
Gotcha.
Like, have that conversation with yourself ahead of time.
Practice before I have to do.
And just know, yeah, know, like, tonight, snacking is a no, because I know that I'm truly not hungry.
Got it.
I just ate. Now, if you know that you're truly hungry, like, it's been 4 hours since you had dinner, and you may get hungry, and it might be true hunger, then sit a couple snacks. Sit a snack out on your counter.
Right on. I like the part about that you just ate and you know full well your meal will hold you over. So you know, even though your brain is telling you otherwise, you know right. full well that your brain is lying and you're not hungry.
Is that a great... You know good and well your brain is lying.
You're lying to me. I can't believe how much you guys tell us our brains are lying to us. I love that.
They do.
Sneaky well,
at the end, it's a hit of dopamine.
Yeah. So what is a thing that I could do that would replace, that would still give up my brain the hit of dopamine that would replace the food?
Any ideas? Are you trying to, I know, but you might not get the hit of dopamine. That's, you're just seeing the urge at that point. You're just replacing one urge cycle for a different one.
Got it. True.
That's why so many people, when they quit drinking, they gain weight.
Because
they replace that urge with another urge. Like, what would it feel like to have the urge and just not give into it?
Miserable. Thank you.
It's all about that conversation, though.
Right. Well, I like that. I like that conversation of have it in advance and know that you're going to not, that you're going to honor yourself and your conversation. I like that.
Yeah. Somebody even said, you can even do like an urge jar.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Judith was talking about that. So you can collect your urges and your brain will be excited to see it.
Yeah, that's what Judith said this morning. And I thought that was interesting. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. You can go to the dollar store and just get a jar. Just get a mason jar. If you're in the South, you'd have a mason jar because we all have them. Apparently, you have to have them if you live in the South.
Apparently, as a quick aside, they're impossible to find right now. Just saying.
I haven't looked. We could find some in my kitchen. But
it's the wings.
Somebody else is doing an urge punch card. What a great
idea. Oh, that's a good idea.
Some people do like ticks on a paper. You can do that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can do pebbles in a jar. You can do a punch card. And your brain loves to see stuff fill up.
Sure. That's why the challenge is so fun, because it's like, ooh, something to check off. Yay.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep, I got that. All right. Well, that's really helpful, MJ. Thank you so much. And I have to tell you, I am so glad I got to get on with you, because you're one of my favorites.
Thank you very much. Thank
you're
you.
You're very welcome.
You all right, girls.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye. That is funny, Jill. Your brain may love to see stuff fill up, but it shouldn't be your stomach. That's hilarious. A sticker board, a potty training sticker board for my urges with stickers. Yep, that works. My potty training days are over, thank goodness. Well, you know, till I get the grandbabies. Leslie. And then we have Sharon, if we have time to get to Sharon, which we probably will. Leslie, I love your little bitmoji. Oh, and your hair. Can I just say that I'm just jealous of your hair?
Thank you.
One Can you day, hear me? I'm going to have that hair one day.
One can day. You see me? Oh, you can see me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
So, thank you. My hair has been a work in progress for many years now.
The work has paid off. It's what it's done.
Thank you.
I know.
I had started going gray. I've been coloring since I'm 27 for gray. And then when I was like, I don't know, 47, I decided to stop coloring. And then I had chemo for colon cancer and I took it all off. And this is what this is what came back.
Oh my gosh. How long ago was that?
I was diagnosed in August of 2017.
Okay. I know we have so many badass cancer survivors on this call. Well, awesome.
So as a total aside from what I'm calling about, I will tell you that I joined in April of 2019. I had gained 60 pounds on chemo. I've always struggled, but I really, and I was not getting off my couch. And you know, I would do an occasional worksheet here, worksheet there. And I lost maybe 10 pounds in that first, you know, 10 months. Mm-hmm. And then March came and we started getting locked down. And I said to my husband, it is freaking now or never. I am not walking out my door with another 30 pounds. And I'm now down 50 pounds. But the thought work that you all have given me has been, you know, just life, truly life-changing.
It really is.
So I actually, with your help, you know, just through your coaching of other people, I have actually been able to dial into my drinking and not overeating. But I've really dialed in. So I can really overdrink and still not eat.
Okay.
Which is a twofold problem. One is because I'm not overeating and I might be drinking on an empty stomach, you know, I think it's it has more of an effect. But I start drinking, so I'm a vodka and lemon drinker. It's like what me and my doctor agree, it's best on my digestion. It you know, it doesn't, wine gives me a stomach. Vodka's a clean alcohol for me. But I start, especially in the summer, so I'm out in the Hamptons and all my kids come every weekend. So I have 5 children, 2 are married, 2 grandchildren. So we're a lot of people, we're 9 to 10 people every weekend.
Okay.
So I usually start my drinking when I'm grilling on Fridays at, I don't know, like 5:30. But so we might not sit down to dinner till 8. So now I've already had 2 and then I've had another one. So really by the time my night's over, let's put it this way. I'm waking up most mornings not remembering a lot of my conversation with my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on the one hand, I say to myself, well, I don't really want to stop drinking. And I don't. I don't want to stop drinking. I just don't know. I don't love. It's my own judgment, I guess, because my kids certainly aren't judging me by any means. But like the Saturday morning, we go for a walk every Saturday morning. And whenever I was sluggish, and I was like, oh, I wonder why. And he's not usually like that. And I said to him, is there something you'd like to say to me about my drinking? Because now would be the time if you want to. No. I go, obviously, there's something he wants to say about drinking. Yeah. But I'm really stuck in this. I don't know. Do I want to stop? But I feel like I should want to reduce, not necessarily. I really don't know how.
So you said, I feel like I should want to reduce. So do you want to reduce or not?
So I'd like the ability to reduce if I want.
Okay. So this is...
Does that make sense?
These calls have been the best calls like ever. I love this so much. One key piece that you need is a compelling reason. Right? Like you have to have a compelling reason.
So I had a compelling reason to stop drinking during the week because my daughter had her second baby in May and they came straight. She was here with me the whole time. And I felt it was irresponsible as the only other adult in the house to be drinking while they were here with 2 babies. What if she needed me? What if there was an emergency? I couldn't have gotten in the car. That was my weekday compelling reason. And I do not drink during the week anymore. If it's on my plan, is it just me and my husband? But I really have curtailed that weekday drinking.
Right. You have the, you currently have the relationship that you want with drinking during the week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So
it is not out of control during the week.
Yeah. So you need to now decide what is the relationship that you want with alcohol on the weekends and why.
Such a good question. So you know what? I'm having, like, I feel like I'm not having any productive thought on it.
Yeah.
You know, even when I, you know,
what are the thoughts that you have when you wake up in the morning on Saturday to go for the walk and you don't remember a lot of the conversation that you had with your kid? So is there any judgment?
No, the thought is more, oh shit, what am I going to have to pretend I remember? so that they're not like eyeballing me. So it's more of, no, I don't have shame with it because I, you know, I'm not a sloppy drunk. I'm not an inappropriate drinker.
Right.
I just, I think part of it is, especially during this COVID, I'm finding it a little stressful having adult children. And, you know, they, some of them have very, you know, I've been called a sheep more times than I can tell you from my young, my 19-year-old. So I struggle with that a little bit. I think it, not that I dial out, you know, not that I tune out because I'm still present. I sit at the table with them. I engage with them. I think it makes me a little less quick to snap at them and a little less, you know, say whatever you want. I really don't care. So yeah. I absolutely.
Because your inhibitions and your, like, all that stuff has changed. So
yeah.
I really think that's the work you need to do. You need to decide if you do want to change your, we've had several people on these calls that like have decided that they just, they don't want to change it right now. And when they do, they're going to work on it.
And then I just have to work. The work then goes around accepting that I don't want to change it right now.
And you need to have a reason to stop because, you know, I feel like I should want to drink less on the weekends. When you come up to the weekend and you really don't feel like you need to stop or there's not an issue or you don't feel like it's a real big problem and you really don't want to change your relationship, there's, you can't. I mean, it's going to be like
harder.
It's going to be much, yeah, without some kind of a reason or like a desire to change your relationship. And like, and if you're still trying to lose weight at some point, maybe the scale won't go down like you want it to.
That's absolutely. So that has been a thought. I actually did a model on that, but I am still consistently losing weight.
Yeah.
And so that's been a reason.
When my weight loss stalled, that's when I decided that that was my compelling reason to change my relationship with alcohol. Because my weight stalled. It's like, I'm doing pretty good. And now because I'm over drinking, that's my, you know, that's my problem.
Oh, it's always on my plan. I just saw that comment come up.
Yeah, it's on your plan. Yeah.
You need to decide
what you want your relationship with alcohol to be. And if it's I guess I also
need to decide that and accept that I'm okay with it not changing right now.
Yes.
So I think that's what, okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I couldn't figure out. In my head, I kept saying, well, I should, but why? I don't have a reason why. It's literally not affecting.
It's other not a than problem.
Sometimes I don't remember necessarily, you know, but again,
so if it's not a problem for you, should you want to change your relationship with alcohol?
No. Well, no, especially since it's not creating a problem with anyone
else. You need to get rid of the should. Like right now, I'm choosing not to change my relationship with alcohol. It's serving me.
It is.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's not a problem then.
I used to joke.
Give yourself some love.
When my kids were little, my sister and I used to joke, you know, my goal was to be, if it's offensive, a functioning alcoholic. But the truth is, I've never had a problem with alcohol. So even when I, let's say, overdrink, I don't even know by whose standards that is. That's the other thing, MJ. I'm not sure whose standard I'm deciding.
Yeah, overdrinking is a thought. Some people believe that if you drink at all, it's overdrinking.
Yeah, my sister. She's a complete teetotaler.
Yeah.
She doesn't get it.
So you define what overdrinking is. Yeah.
And I always say to my husband, for example, like, even though it's not legal in New York, I'm okay with my adult children smoking marijuana. I believe it should be legal. They're responsible. I think half the time I think it's safer. But who am I to decide if it's not hurting, like, if it's not hurting anybody, why am I going to be on them just because somebody else said it, I should be?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess I have to give myself that same grace.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. It was nice to meet you.
It was really nice to meet you.
And to see your hair.
Thank you. I was so nervous. I'm thinking, be a no BS woman and click that hand.
That's good. I'm glad you did. It was nice to meet you.
It was nice meeting you. Thanks, MJ.
Bye. All right. So I'm going to answer some of these questions. Joy, I've been sick these last couple of days and been eating crackers off plan to help my upset stomach. Is this considered an urge that I gave into? I would, when I am sick, like if I wake up and I have the stomach issues or the bug or whatever else, and I'm really not feeling well, it's just at that point, if I need to give myself food and I've planned a burger and fries and I'm really sick and I eat crackers, that's really what was best for my body. And I don't count that off plan. Like, it's almost like, you know that you're really sick. So I personally don't count it that way. If you want to, you can, and count yourself as, I mean, you can even count yourself as off plan and be okay with it. You know, like you can definitely be off plan and make a great decision for yourself. You know, like be like, this is my self care. So, and if you're still not feeling well, make sure that you can plan the crackers, right? Kristen, ask, when you say feels like ass, is it more self-talk or can it be physical symptoms? So such a good question. An urge is really just a feeling in our body, just like happy, sad, disappointed, frustrated, all that stuff. And so what you do is you just like, when you, whenever you have an urge, you know, you can close your eyes and ask yourself, almost like do a body scan, you know, how does it feel like? Are my eyes moving quickly? Like when I have an urge, my neck gets really red. For instance, my chest, it turns red. My thoughts really do spin a lot. And then my hands sometimes get a little bit sweaty whenever I do that. And then I keep feeling the need to get up and move. Like I'm just not like comfortable. Like that's what an urge feels like for me. And so you need to you can do that same work, and because an urge might feel different in everybody's body. And what happens is the urge may get a little bit stronger because you start to have the thoughts may start to escalate and it might feel a little bit stronger. But a lot of times the reason it feels stronger is what I was talking about before, when you're adding like suffering on top of it, because you hear the thoughts and then you might start to think, these should just go away. How long am I going to have to lay here? Right. And it doesn't always feel great. There's some discomfort that goes along with saying no to urges sometimes. So that's a good question though. Let's see, Sherry, when you created your future self, was it as fabulous as you turned out to be? Did she really guide you? Did she help you say no to urges? She did help me say no to urges. I always say, like Corinne says, like, she says help women lose weight and create the life that they deserve or whatever. But I always used to say the life that I always dreamed of, like I wanted to lose the weight and like create the life I always dreamed of. I couldn't have dreamed this up, y'all. I could not have dreamed this up. And so my future self was just thin. She could shop in boutiques with her daughters. And she was not scared to break chairs. And the other thing was, when I would go to dance competitions, not to be scared that I couldn't fit in the seat. I wanted to comfortably fit in the seat in the dance auditorium whenever, no matter where we went. I didn't want to go to concerts and sit in the folding chairs and be scared that I was going to break them. Like, that's really about as far as I got. That was really all she did. And so she kind of evolved as I changed and grew. And then, you know, I would say no to urges because it's not gonna help me become the person I want to be. I didn't want to be scared to break chairs anymore. And it was worth it sometimes to say no to a couple bites of food. This light is so bright. I'm gonna change the mode. That's a little bit better. Woo, it got bright. Debbie, I think we talked about what if I know the drinking overeating habit isn't helping, but I don't want to give it up. You need to ask yourself, what is it doing for me? Why don't I want to give it up? And start asking yourself those questions. It could be like our last caller, like Leslie, that you just don't want to give it up. It might not be a thing for you. Christina, at what point do you decide to get rid of food and the drinks that you go to when you're having an urge? Corinne has talked about not keeping a jar of peanut butter in her house because she doesn't want to think about it. So that just when I don't want to think about it anymore, just to remove the urge. So good. Okay. This is one of my favorite topics. Make yourself the hero of your story. I love doing this for myself. So if you, let's just say it's peanut butter, because you talked about Crin's peanut butter. So for me, it's Ferrero Rocher chocolates, but whatever, I digress. So peanut butter in a jar. And you're like, oh my God, every time I eat it, like I just like, it's so hard for me to stop. Like I have so many urges. Like I know it's in the house and I think about it a lot and whatever else. So you can decide to get it out of your house because I can't control it. You know, I can't stop overeating whenever I have it. I just can't control myself around it and give all of your power to the peanut butter. Or the story can be, you know what? I am really working on changing my thoughts right now. I have so many other things that I'm working on and I am seeing such success. And at some point, I know that I'm going to want to deal with the urges and stuff around peanut butter. But right now, I have other priorities. I got priorities. I'm getting to my future self. I'm getting to my goal weight. And right now, I'm just not choosing to manage my urges around peanut butter. You hear the difference in the story? So if you decide that you don't want to have it in your house, just make sure that the story you tell about it is lush and that you are the hero of the story. It's not that peanut butter controls me or I can't control myself around it. It is, I'm a badass who is choosing me, and I have decided right now I'm not working on that. So just make sure you love the story you tell. How do you drink and not eat? Debbie, such a good question. I set up external accountability. Like I'll tell my friends, I ain't gonna eat anything. I have conversations with myself ahead of time. I put my food away as soon as I'm done so that I don't grab ass, that sort of stuff. And it really is the conversation that you have. And I do get hungry. And I have, like, I talked about, like, you know, with the pot. Like, I know I'm not hungry right now. I just ate. That's what I tell myself. Julie says, how do you get out of the habit of feeding the urge when your mind is so overpowering that in that moment you say you really don't care and eat anyway, which immediately spins into guilt once you eat and continue eating through the guilt? It just seems impossible to break. I want you to listen to that call that Corinne did about what you say to yourself. I want you to hear how you're describing this urge. Right? Like, we're not in the middle of an urge right now, but you've already decided that the next urge you have is going to be so overpowering that I'm not going to care and I'm going to eat anyway. An urge is just a feeling created by a thought. And you need to ask yourself, you've given all the power to the urge. What am I thinking right now? What could I think instead? It's impossible to break. If that's your thought, it's impossible to break, then that's exactly what's going to happen. So you need to change your story around what an urge is. What an urge is just a feeling in my body. And you're probably having a conversation around the urge, like we were talking about before, like, oh my God, this is so hard. It's so overpowering. I just can't say no to this urge. It's so hard. It starts with changing the conversation that you have around the urge. Yeah, that's what it starts with. All right, y'all, we've gone a little bit over. Yes, I was going to tell you what we got coming up this week inside of the No BS membership. This week, the rest of the week, we are talking about, you know, we're doing the challenge, which is awesome. And then for the basics bootcamp this week, the rest of the week, what we have for you is, tomorrow is, hunger isn't an emergency. So good. And then Wednesday is hump day boost, how I plan for the weekends, weekdays to the weekend. And then we have the mystery of the Kathy method. What? And then on Friday, we have discovery worksheets, when to do them. And then we have why exercise ain't one of the four basics. So good. So, and the rest of the week we have got, I don't know what today is, y'all. That's so sad. It's Monday. So on Wednesday, September the 2nd, we have got, I think it's week four of Lisa Smith, at 5 Central, Fear and Parenting. And at 12:30 Central, we have Coaching for Teachers, if you're in that group. And then on Saturday, we have the Q&A, like we always do. We have office hours on Sunday as well, and binge eating. I know we got all kind of stuff going on, y'all. All right. It has been great hanging out with y'all. I have enjoyed myself. And we are out of here. We are out of here, ladies. Y'all have a great, great night. Bye, y'all.